The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Dating Revolution with Heather Jones. Regardless if you're a woman or a man, you're sure to have some laughs and learn a lot on today's show, which is about the benefits and fun that casual dating can bring. You probably aren't going to hear about how to find the one on our show, but you will hear some great commentary and crazy stories. And you'll leave with advice you can put to work today. Now, here's Heather Jones.
Good morning, good morning. How is everybody today? I'm having an awesome week myself and looking forward to the holiday weekend that's coming up. I hope you've got some fun plans. I'm going to be staying in town, chilling, taking it easy. So I'm a little bummed this morning. I'm in the studio by myself. On last week's show, I had my girlfriends Lisa, Stacy, and Julie with me on the air. And we had some good old-fashioned trash talk last week. It was fun. We had a good time. I hope everybody enjoyed it. We talked a little bit about what trumps what, and I think all of us pretty much decided that funny trumps just about everything. You know, and that's always why I happen to get in trouble most of the time, because I can never resist the funny guy. I can never resist him. It's always the one, the clincher for me. If you can make me laugh, I'm in. We also talked a lot about flirting, and hopefully you took some of our advice out for a spin last weekend and ended up making out with some hottie you met in the grocery store or at Home Depot. I know that we all went out, had big girls night out Friday night, and, you know, I saw some of the tools that we talked about put into motion on Friday night, and I think it was a pretty successful night for a couple of the girls. But we talked a little bit about online dating as well last week, and I'm going to be exploring this subject more in the coming weeks on the show, so look forward to that. I've got both men and women out there that are ready to dish out the dirt on the truth about online dating, so I'm really excited for some upcoming episodes we've got on that. But this week, I wanted to share with you some of my favorite books, and I got to tell you, as you know, this last week as I was preparing for the show, I was going through the books again, the four that I'm going to kind of showcase today, and it was so nice. It was very appropriate timing for me, and I was able to relearn some of the lessons that I had forgotten about, and I was reminded of some of the things that were really influential in getting me through some really tough times in my life, and each one of these books has something a little special to offer, and I've reached out to all of these authors actually to see if any of them are interested in coming onto the show. So hopefully, stay tuned, we'll have some of these authors on the show with me in the future. So the first book I'm going to be talking about, it's called What Smart Women Know. And this book is by Stephen Carter and Julia Sokol. And this book was published in the 90s, early 90s, and again in the late 90s. So it's been around for a while, but I can tell you what, you know, at that moment in my life, you know, I was in my 20s, 30s time frame, and I was going through a really tough time. And my younger cousin, Kim, who's always been so much smarter than me, told me about this book because she, you know, she saw me struggling and I bought it, and I love it. I still love it today. And it was so hard for me to go through this book last night and pick which segments I wanted to talk about on the show today. You know, on the back of this book, really kind of, as most self-help type books are, you know, they kind of tell you what's up so you can kind of, you know, avoid the pain and the hurt. So on the back of the book, it says, wisdom without pain, understanding without heartache, insight without melodrama. And that's exactly what this book is all about. So let me talk about the first segment of the book I wanted to talk about is kind of what to look for on a first dinner date. And so, you know, this is it gives an exhaustive list on what you, and I tried to pick some things out of this book that would kind of relate to everybody that could be listening today, some daters, some married people, some divorced people, and so on. And I wanted to pull this one out because I think it's hysterical. It says, your first dinner date in a restaurant is more than just a meal. It's a microcosm of what life could be like with this person. And it says that your first big dinner date, often, you know, you want to pay attention. Keep in mind that everybody has their bad days and bad habits, but a smart woman knows that before she starts fantasizing about a lifetime of meals with this guy, you should think twice if you notice any of these behaviors. So let me break it down for you. You want to watch out for any man who flirts with any other woman than you, including but not limited to the coat jet curl, the waitress, the waiter, or the valet parking attendant. Okay? You want to watch out for any man who asks you to meet him in a restaurant and then is more than 15 minutes late. I do talk about that in my book. I give you permission to leave after 15 minutes if he hasn't called you. Any man that won't eat anything with his fingers. Some of these are pretty funny. Any man who eats everything with his fingers. Somebody who gets angry if you offer him money. That's an interesting topic in and of itself. Any man who chooses an expensive restaurant and then expects you to pay for half. That recently happened to a girlfriend of mine. It was an awesome story. I think that's happened to me a couple of times too. I always offer to pay though. You know, that's just my thing though. Any man who chooses an expensive restaurant and then won't order wine because it's too expensive. It's like he's trying to impress you, but he doesn't want to order the most expensive thing on the menu, or he doesn't want to order any wine because then it's going to be over his budget. So that tells you right there he's living beyond his means. Any man who orders an expensive bottle of wine without consulting you and then expects you to pay half. We talked about that already. Any man who invites you to dinner, then doesn't have any money. I think we've all had that happen to us, or has forgotten his credit card, or my poor girlfriend who actually went on a trip with a guy, checked into the hotel, and come to find out he had lost his credit cards or left them in the car or some big story like that. She ended up paying for the whole weekend. Any man who figures your share of the bill with a calculator, that's never a good sign. Any man who spends the entire evening, and this goes for you girls too, playing with their iPhones or their phones or whatever. Any man who changes tables more than one time, has to order more than once. Let's see. This is a huge list. Let me get some good ones. Any man who drinks too much. That's a good one. Anyone who tries to control you by telling you what to order and how to eat it. Any man who won't check your coat because it costs a dollar. That's not a good sign right there. Any man who pays attention to what is going on at the other tables more than he does pay attention to you. Any man who eats all of his meals plus half of yours. That's never a good sign. Any person that tells you he always orders the same thing no matter where he eats. Anyone who says he's allergic to half of the things that you order. Anybody who lets the check sit on the table too long, who makes a face when he looks at the bill, any man who looks at the menu and begins to talk excessively about his fears concerning one of the following, worms, pesticides, herbicides, that type of thing. You know that guy. We've all gone out with that guy. Any man who won't talk about himself or ask you questions about yourself. I was dating a guy at one point in time. This happened to me a few years ago that he, we'd been kind of hanging out, you know, for a few months. He was a long-distance relationship, and every time we'd go out or we would meet in our cities, our respective cities, he would never ask me any information about myself. He never wanted to get to know me. And, you know, I knew that it was a long-distance relationship, and I, you know, it was a little bit of a red flag. So finally I asked him one night, I said, why don't you ever ask me anything about myself? You know, and he said, well, because I know everything I need to know. So which was exactly true, because our relationship was just fun. It was just an out-of-town fling. He had never had any intention of it going any further than that with me. And the minute he found the woman that he's now married to, we broke up. So any man who appears completely disinterested in listening to anything about you, your life, or your interest could be a red flag. So those are some things to look out for on a first date. The second person I want to introduce you to in this particular book, what I love about this book is the author tells a bunch of little stories, and then they give advice based upon that little story. And this particular story is a story about a girl named Stacy. And Stacy ends up meeting Alan. She likes him a lot. They have a lot in common. He says he wants a real relationship with her. She knows what this means. You know, he wants to sleep with her. She wants to sleep with him too, but there's only one problem. Alan's married. He says it's no longer a real marriage. He tells Stacy he no longer sleeps with his wife. He tells Stacy that his wife has her own life, and that she's probably even grateful that he's out of her hair. You know, he talks about real estate and their kids and feeling guilty and how it's really hard to get divorced and how it's, you know, it's really tough on him because it's a broken marriage and he wants to get out of it so badly and he doesn't know what to do. He really loves Stacy and he really wants to go out with her and be with her and da 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 da. And Stacy's very torn. You know, on the one hand, Alan in Hawaii. On the other hand, Alan's wife and his family. She isn't sure what to do. So let me give you a couple of pointers. And, you know, I've had my fair share of affairs in my 20s, and I can tell you it never works out. But a smart woman knows the difference between marriageable and married, intimacy and seduction, a real relationship and a real con job, somebody who's going to leave his wife and somebody who already has. So here's a couple other tidbits on married men. And this is so true. A week in Hawaii isn't worth one single weekend of imagining your lover having a backyard barbecue with his wife and kids while you're at home waiting and hoping for the phone to ring. I spent many a holiday feeling this way. If a married man is genuinely interested, he'll be just as interested after he leaves his wife, which is the only time you should consider dating him. Once you get involved with a married man, you may wish you had your own life as well. If his wife doesn't understand him, you probably won't understand him either. If he implies that his wife doesn't like sex or doesn't like him, you should probably realize she's got her reasons. Married men sometimes use the nearest available single woman to help ease the pain from exiting from a marriage. Once the marriage is finished, so is the relationship. When things get serious, married men have been known to hide behind their wives to fend off the other woman. When a man says he's staying with a marriage because of real estate, kids, and guilt, it usually means he's totally dependent on his wife. Some men always have affairs. They get off on the danger of being caught. Married men who go out with other women are like oysters. One in a million has something precious inside, but the rest are just slimy. We're going to take a break. You're listening to The Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones, your host. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single woman who's on the fence about marriage and children? Or are you one of those women who tries to make a relationship out of every casual encounter? If you answered yes to either of these, we've got you covered, plus a whole lot more. Go online today and pick up a copy of Heather's book, Fuck the Double Standard in Dating. You'll love all of Heather's crazy stories, and it won't be long before you're putting into practice the hundreds of tips she provides. This book will help you navigate the world of casual dating without trying to make marriage the ultimate destination. Heather shows you how to approach dating more like a man does, which means being in the moment and not taking everything too seriously. When you change your way of thinking, dating is not only fun, it builds confidence and opens doors to endless possibilities. Fuck the Double Standard in Dating is available now through Amazon.com via paperback or ebook. In fact, while listening to today's show, you can click the link on the show page to pick up your copy right now. Buy it today and become part of the dating revolution.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into the Dating Revolution. Got a question for Heather? Pick up the phone and call into the live show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. If you're just feeling too shy to call in, send Heather an email. The address is info@heatherjones.com. And now, back to the Dating Revolution.
We're back. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones, your host. Don't forget to find me online at heatherjones.com. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Heather Jones. You can buy my book on Amazon. You just heard the commercial on that. So today we've been talking about some of the other books that I love and that have gotten me through some really tough times in my life. And we just talked about the book What Smart Women Know by Stephen Carter and Julia Sokol, one of my favorites. And now we're gonna switch gears and we're gonna talk about what happens when you're between boyfriends. This is called the Between Boyfriends book, and it's a book by a woman named Cindy Chupac, who was one of the writers for Sex and the City. And I don't know about you girls out there, but whenever Sex and the City reruns are on, I can't stop but watch them. I know every single one of them by heart. But this girl is hysterical. And oddly enough, on the break, my producer, Roland, love you, Roland. I'm sorry that you're leaving me. But he said, you need to do an episode on how you never go back. You should always go forward. Well, oddly enough, that happens to be what I'm going to be talking about right now. And the Between Boyfriends book talks about how to get through that in-between stage. And one of the tips that she gives, I'm going to give you a bunch of the tips out of the book, but one of the tips that she gives is called sexual sorbet. And it's the first person you sleep with after a breakup. It's a palate cleanser to remove the taste of a failed relationship. So she's talking about here how you never go back, you need to always move forward, and everybody's heard that old adage, the best way to get over one guy is to get under another, and it does work, it does work. So I got to read this little excerpt out of here because it's really funny. She says, well, I say sleep with someone else. Sexual sorbet cleanses the palate and prepares you for your next course. After all, you don't want your ex to be the last guy you slept with. You need to put some distance between the two of you, and 5 to 7 inches ought to do it. I love this girl. She's funny. The next thing that she talks about in this, I just picked out a couple of things out of this book, which I loved. So another chapter is called Dating Horoscopes. And she, depending upon your birthday, she tells you what's going to happen with you during your sort of transitional period based upon your astrological sign. And I was reading through these and happened to flip to mine, which is Sagittarius, and I cracked up because it's absolutely 100% dead on for me. So I thought I would read this to you because it's freaking hysterical. So Sagittarius, knowing what you know about me now, this is even going to be funnier. The new moon is the time to make decisions. Like, where exactly is this fling with the 22-year-old going? The planets are in conflict, especially in the 7th and 21st, so that's not a good time to confront him about his pot problem. Mars and Virgo make your health vulnerable, so camp out in Mexico at your own risk. An older boyfriend might spring for a hotel with a bathroom. That's all the planets are saying. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, my God. 22-year-old with a pot problem. I understand that. One of the other chapters, she talks about Halloweenies. Oh, this is so funny because, and I do talk about this in the book a little bit, my book, about how guys who break up with you around Halloween, it's because they don't want to go through the holidays with you. And this just happened to me recently. I had been seeing this guy pretty hot and heavy. And, you know, we saw each other maybe July, August, September. And seriously, Halloween was almost the last date we had. It's hysterical because it's so true. Guys, she talks about in the book how the Halloweenie sees the season as an express train to next year. And if he's at all undecided about his relationship with you, that's a train he'd rather not board. She said, in addition, the Halloweenie knows that not breaking up in late October means suffering through Thanksgiving, which usually involves two non-refundable tickets to somewhere like Pittsburgh. And then the Christmas rolls around, and then you've got to give gifts. And then some men are terrible about gift giving. And you're in this kind of weird place where I don't know if I should give him a gift and should he give me a gift, and then that means something, and girls make all this shit up in their head, you know, and then it's New Year's Eve. And then, oh God, nobody hates New Year's Eve worse than me. I swear, it's always a huge letdown. I don't know about you, but New Year's Eve, I would just prefer to spend with my friends and make the night what I want it to be rather than relying on a man to make the night what I think it should be. So anyway, Halloweenies, I love this one. Another one she talks about in the book, another chapter, it's called Last Call. And this is hysterical. I've gotten the last call a few times. The last call is when a bachelor's final desperate phone call warning to his ex-girlfriends and unrequited loves that he's about to go off the market, so you better act now. I've gotten a few of those last calls. I don't know about you, but you always get the last, you've heard that your ex is dating somebody, you've heard that it's getting kind of serious, and then, you know, about 6 months later, 6 months to a year later, you get the phone call, and, you know, they're just calling to catch up. How you doing? How are things going? You know, I ran across the naked pictures of you I have. Oops, I thought you threw those away. And I was just thinking about you and wondering how you're doing, and by the way, are you going to be in town this weekend? I'd really love to say hi, which in code means, could we have sex just one more time just to make sure in my mind I'm doing the right thing by marrying this girl? I've gotten that call a few times. Another one in here that's hysterical is called sports dates. And you guys have all heard me talk about the women's weekend, the Sterling Women's Weekend. And this is one of the tips that I learned in the Sterling Women's Weekend, is that you don't compete with a man. And in today's day and age of sports and competition and there's so many activities out there for men and women to be involved in together. And women are going to cringe when I tell you not to do this, and guys are probably going to get pissed, but you just don't want to compete with a man in any kind of sporting event, because you always want to make sure that he feels like he's better than you in this sporting event and that he can beat you, all right? There's nothing worse to bruise a man's ego than for a girl to beat him at a sport. Some guys may like it. They might tell you they like it. But inside, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, it's gonna bruise his ego a little bit. So this is sport dates. Whenever a guy invites you out on a date for some type of sporting event, you want to just be mindful. Just be mindful of what's going on. You probably don't want to engage in a sport that either of you played at a varsity level in high school or college. Okay, that's competition right there. You want to try not to get carried away with each other. And, you know, some women are suckers for proving themselves in front of men. I've fallen into that trap myself, but she talks about a case where her and her old boyfriend rented boogie boards during a trip to Hawaii. And, you know, she kept challenging him, and it never turns into a good situation. Never turns into a good situation. So you want to avoid the temptation as well to gloat if you happen to beat him at his own game. This is so funny. She says that her dental hygienist once went bowling with her boyfriend, who always bowls every week in a league. So she kicked his butt. And afterwards, she gleefully announced the victory over the bowling alley loudspeaker. So this, the hygienist admits, in retrospect, was not a good idea. Because during the silent car ride home, she felt like a loser, and he never called her again. So be aware that some sport dates are compatibility tests, and you both might fail. You always want to have the option of saying, I'd like to, but I think I'd rather do something else instead. So anyway, just be mindful when you're out there. You know, I can remember being at the gym with a guy, and I know my way around a gym. I know my way around the equipment, and you know, we're doing calf raises. I'm doing calf raises with this guy that I met one time, and you know, I'm calf raising. Yeah, I've got like 100 pounds or something on the calf press, and you know, he gets onto the calf press after me, and he can do like 50 pounds. And it's, you know, guys forget that women are wearing high heels all day long, every day, 7 days a week. I mean, we've got nice calves, and I was a runner. So, but anyway, it embarrassed me to embarrass him. So I'm just warning you, just be careful when you're at the gym with a guy. Okay, the last one I want to talk about in the book, the Between Boyfriends book, is called A Close Trophobia. And this is a heightened state of anxiety and agitation when a person who's been single for a prolonged period of time tries to let another person into her life or her apartment. This is me. This is so me. It's like, you know, I'm a single woman. Every now and then I'll have a man come in, spend the weekend with me, and I got to tell you, it's like I'm watching the clock thinking, you know, I'm so into my routine. And not that I don't love having him there. I love it. It's wonderful. But it's good for about 3 days, 2 days. Actually, 3 days would be the maximum for me to share space with somebody. You know, I've got my routine. It's, you know, my old boss used to tell me that. He used to say, you know, Heather, you're screwed. You've spent way too much time alone. It's going to be so hard for you to integrate somebody into your life, into your everyday life. And it's so true, you know, because I've got my little schedule down. I get up in the morning. I do my thing. I make my smoothies. You know, I've got the shows that I like to watch. You know, I've got my workout schedule. It's really hard when a guy comes into town and tries to share your space for a weekend, and you just, after you've been alone for so long, it's rough. It's rough. That's all I got to tell you. But you know, there's so many things in this awesome book. You take the time to read it. Take the time to look her up, Cindy Chupac. She's got a new book that's coming out in January. And again, this girl's awesome. Oh, this is a good one. Premature ejaculation. This is a good one, too. It's awesome. So anyway, great things about Cindy Chupac. The next book that we're going to be talking about is called, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken. And it's The Smart Girl's Guide to Breaking Up Easily, Getting Through a Breakup. It's super funny. I can't wait to read some of the things out of this book. So this is what we're going to be talking about next. So we're going to take a break. You're listening to The Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones, your host. Don't forget to visit me online at heatherjones.com or email me at info@heatherjones.com. I did receive my first email last week. I've been chit-chatting with a guy via email who actually reached out to me for some dating advice. Thank you so much. And I hope it was helpful to him. So it's not just girls I'm talking to out there. It's guys too. Guys need advice too. So I'm happy to answer any questions. My new website was recently just launched. I moved it over to a new platform. So take the time to get on there. You can always send me questions. The links to all my radio shows are there. The link to buy my book is there. So go online and check it out today. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single woman who's on the fence about marriage and children? Or are you one of those women who tries to make a relationship out of every casual encounter? If you answered yes to either of these, we've got you covered, plus a whole lot more. Go online today and pick up a copy of Heather's book, Fuck the Double Standard in Dating. You'll love all of Heather's crazy stories, and it won't be long before you're putting into practice the hundreds of tips she provides. This book will help you navigate the world of casual dating without trying to make marriage the ultimate destination. Heather shows you how to approach dating more like a man does, which means being in the moment and not taking everything too seriously. When you change your way of thinking, dating is not only fun, it builds confidence and opens doors to endless possibilities. Fuck the Double Standard in Dating is available now through Amazon.com via paperback or ebook. In fact, while listening to today's show, you can click the link on the show page to pick up your copy right now. Buy it today and become part of the dating revolution.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into the Dating Revolution. Got a question for Heather? Pick up the phone and call into the live show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. If you're just feeling too shy to call in, send Heather an email. The address is info@heatherjones.com. And now, back to the Dating Revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Heather Jones, your host. You're listening to The Dating Revolution. So we've been chit-chatting about some of my favorite books. We've talked about What Smart Women Know, and just recently we were talking about the Between Boyfriends book by Cindy Chupac. She was one of the writers of Sex and the City, and which brings up my next book called It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken. And this book is by Greg Berend and Amira Rutola Berend, who is his wife. Now, Greg Berend, I don't know if you know who this person is or not, but he's the one that wrote the funniest episode on Sex and the City called She's Just Not That Into You. He's Just Not That Into You. And this is, he was one of the writers on Sex and the City as well. And this is one of the books that he has published since then. And another book that he published called She's Just Not That Into You Either is hysterical. But this one is called It's Called a Breakup Because It's Broken. And I love this book. It's so on point. It's a spot on how-to guide to get through a breakup. There's hundreds and hundreds of scenarios in here. There's lesson plans at the end of every chapter. And then my favorite part of this book, at the end of every chapter, he has what are called psycho confessionals. But all of us have been through a breakup. You know, God, it hurts. It hurts so effing bad. It rocks you to the very core of your being. It's like you never saw it coming. You knew it was going to happen, though. You were going to do it first, and you were going to break it off before he broke up with you. You guys were supposed to be together forever. But you never really liked him that much anyway, if you thought about it. He was such a great kisser. but the sex honestly wasn't that great. You really liked his family, but he hated your friends. You hated his shoes, but you miss him so much. There's so many mixed messages going on inside your body right now. It's like, oh my God, you knew it wasn't right. You knew it had to happen, but man, it's tough to let go of that comfort, that comfort feeling that you had of having somebody around. And if you're not used to being alone, it makes it really, really hard on a woman or a man too. I shouldn't say just women, but I'm going to read you guys some of these psycho confessionals because they are absolutely hysterical. So after he broke up with me, I told him that we needed to go for a drive to talk. While driving, I did the usual crazy breakup talk. I threw around some profanities, told him he had wasted my time, and so on. I told him I still like to be friends and see if we could fix what was wrong with our relationship. He told me he didn't think that was a good idea. He thought we needed to separate completely. I believe the quote was, here we go, "It's not you, it's me. I can't fix the fact that I don't feel that way about you anymore. How original." I continued to drive 10 miles out of town. Imagine farms, vast empty fields, you get the idea. He started to get a little suspicious and asked if we could start heading back. I said no and continued to drive. After 5 minutes of silence, I pulled over and said, "Here's your stop. Get out." I threw the batch of cookies I had recently made for him and shouted a few obscenities and said, "There, now we are separated completely, and I can't fix the fact that I don't feel like driving you home anymore." I must mention that after dumping his ass by the side of the road, 5 minutes later it started pouring and the tornado siren started going off. No wonder why he turned every shade of white and sheepishly avoided eye contact with me when I ran into him a year later. I knew I wasn't the only crazy bitch out there. Okay, here's another good one. For a while, he would take my calls, and I would cry and scream and plead and beg. But after a couple of months, he stopped taking my calls. It would always go to voicemail, and he'd never call me back, probably because I said some pretty shitty things in all of my messages. I tried emailing him. He wouldn't respond. Same thing. Even when I put in the body of my email, quote unquote, "I'm having your baby," he still wouldn't respond. I stalked him on his computer by instant messaging him until he changed his IM identity so that he no longer showed up on my buddy list. Finally, when I thought I had run out of ideas, I remembered he and I both had phone cams and could email each other pictures. So I sent him a picture of me naked, and now it's on the internet. Next time I think about not contacting him. This is anonymous, calling from Oregon. So here are some things to do instead of calling, and I talk about this a lot in my book. It's when you're in the midst of a bad breakup, you've got to stay busy. You've got to do anything and everything possible to keep yourself from thinking about this guy. So Greg's got some good ideas here. Take yourself to a movie that he would have never gone to with you. Call an old friend that you've been meaning to catch up with. Speaking of which, whenever you pick up the phone to call him, text him, IM him, or whatever, call your girlfriend instead, or do a phone exorcism like I did recently when I was in Houston. I don't know if I talked about this on the air or not, but I had been seeing this guy and he was driving me crazy. I couldn't stop thinking about him and it was pissing me off. So at a moment of clarity, I was in a bar drunk with my girlfriend in Houston. I gave her my phone and I said, "I want you to delete his number right now." And she did it for me. Of course I panicked 5 minutes later and started to tear up. She's like, "Heather, it's going to be okay." But meet a friend for coffee. Go to the pound and rescue a dog. So that might be something to kind of get you out of your funk. Put on your favorite CDs. Dance around in your underwear. CDs. God, this is an old-ass book. Put on your iPod. Take a hike or a long walk. Go finish that book you never finished. Anyway, there's tons of things for you to do instead of calling this guy. Okay, let's see. Here's another psycho story for you. It's hysterical. When my boyfriend broke up with me, I literally lost my mind. I couldn't stop obsessing about him and drove my friends away one by one. Sound familiar to anybody? At first, they started screening their calls. Then many of them stopped returning my calls. And I finally got the hint when three of my friends got new cell phone numbers and couldn't remember what their new numbers were when I asked them for them. Finally, I sat down my oldest friend and demanded to know what was going on. Aren't friends supposed to help you through this time? Well, with as much love as she could muster, she told me that I had gone over the edge when I burned my name into my ex's front lawn with fertilizer. As sympathetic as they wanted to be, vandalism was where they drew the line. After that, I'd started seeing a therapist, and one of my friends has let me back into their life since. So anyway, that was hysterical. Burned her name on the lawn with some fertilizer. That's the breakup. It's called a breakup because it's broken. The last book we're going to talk about, and my girlfriend just gave this to me before she left town, my girlfriend Denine. Hi, Dee. I know she's listening to the show right now. It's called You Didn't Hear It From Us. So I'm relatively new to this book, but I love it, and I can't wait to read it. I skimmed through it this week, and there's so many good things in this book. You've got to go get it. So this is two bartenders who have been together bartending for over 30 years between the two of them. They own a bar in Manhattan on the West Village called Employees Only. It's a classic cocktail bar. And this book talks about what they've observed over the years. The cover of the book says, two bartenders serve women the truth about men, making an impression, and getting what you want. I love this book because, you know, these guys have seen it all, and they see it from a bird's eye view. And, you know, I always wonder if bartenders know exactly what's going on. And when you think they can't hear what you're saying, you know, they'll all of a sudden respond to something that you've said, and you're like, oh, shit. He heard what I said. You can't imagine the things that these guys see and witness. And so they've turned all of that great experience, and they did all of these sort of focus groups and had all these people answer these great questions, different questions and whatnot. And there's all these awesome cocktail recipes in the book. And it's just a really, really fun book. So I encourage you to go out and get it. A couple of the things that I wanted to talk about in this book is, the first thing is, you know, the guy says, he says, we can't get you laid, we can't find you your husband, but we can show you how to do it by yourself. When it comes to guys, you think it's a game, you think it's all a mystery, but if you don't know the secrets, you're in luck because we do. So this is, it's so awesome. It's a great book. So the first thing I wanted to talk about on here, it's called How to Typecast Yourself. And if you typecast yourself first, then nobody else can. So let me kind of explain what this means. I was kind of going through this last night. You know, all of us have our own little way that we act and the way that we liked when we go out, but it changes from time to time. You know, some days we feel good, some days we don't feel that great. You know, it all depends on our attitude and how confident we're feeling on that particular day, on what kind of a night we're going to have that night. So when we get back from the break, I'm going to show you how to typecast yourself before you go out on the town to make sure you have the best night you can possible for yourself. So we'll be right back. You're listening to The Dating Revolution. I'm Heather Jones, your host.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single woman who's on the fence about marriage and children? Or are you one of those women who tries to make a relationship out of every casual encounter? If you answered yes to either of these, we've got you covered, plus a whole lot more. Go online today and pick up a copy of Heather's book, Fuck the Double Standard in Dating. You'll love all of Heather's crazy stories, and it won't be long before you're putting into practice the hundreds of tips she provides. This book will help you navigate the world of casual dating without trying to make marriage the ultimate destination. Heather shows you how to approach dating more like a man does, which means being in the moment and not taking everything too seriously. When you change your way of thinking, dating is not only fun, it builds confidence and opens doors to endless possibilities. The Double Standard in Dating is available now through Amazon.com via paperback or ebook. In fact, while listening to today's show, you can click the link on the show page to pick up your copy right now. Buy it today and become part of the dating revolution.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into the Dating Revolution. Got a question for Heather? Pick up the phone and call into the live show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. If you're just feeling too shy to call in, send Heather an email. The address is info@heatherjones.com. And now, back to the Dating Revolution.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Dating Revolution. I'm Heather Jones, your host. So I've been talking today about my favorite book, some of my favorite books, and we just got finished reviewing, it's called A Breakup Because It's Broken, and now we're talking about the book, it's called You Didn't Hear It From Us, and it's two bartenders who live in New York. They own a very swanky bar on the West Village, Manhattan's West Village, called Employees Only, and they wrote this book about their perceptions and what they've witnessed over the years. So what we talked about before the break was how to typecast yourself before you go out so nobody else can typecast yourself for you. And they've sort of broken it down into a couple of different types of women. And the first woman is sort of the Tinkerbell. And what they tell you to do in this book is to use whatever your typecast is to your advantage. But always take responsibility for who you are, own who you are, and take responsibility for putting it out there. Okay, so if I'm going out and I'm feeling like Tinkerbell, I'm going to flirt, I'm going to float, I'm around, I'm going to work my fairy dust magic. You know, heads are going to turn when I laugh, men are going to want to get close to me. You know, regardless of what has gone on in your life that day, you always wear a smile, you always have that genuine warmth about you, and even when you're just there with your girlfriends, you know, guys are going to be attracted to the Tinkerbell type. The other one, the next type is called the accidental temptress, and this is when you feel you're most comfortable with yourself. You're the accidental temptress the nights when you don't have any agenda, or if you do have an agenda, you're not letting it going to get in the way of having a good time. Now, the accidental temptress, this person, everybody wants to be with her. She flies to Paris for the weekend. She gets marriage offers. You know, she's perfectly average looking, though, which is what we love about the accidental temptress. You know, she's not the person that women and men are gawking over and that their heads are turning as they're walking down the street. She's not that woman. She's the accidental temptress because of how she feels inside. She's got so much confidence, and she's so comfortable with who she is. Everybody wants to be around her. Everybody wants to be with her. You know, she just makes everybody around her feel so good all the time. Then we've got the pleaser. You're the pleaser when you're feeling a little shaky about yourself. And we've all been in this moment in time before. It doesn't mean you can't perform, but you need to not go out with a feeling of desperation. And that in order for you to feel good about yourself, you have to win. So, you know, when you're feeling like the pleaser, you're going to go out of your way to engage in conversations with strangers, which is good, even though you're feeling insecure. You're desperate to feel a little bit better about yourself, and the best way to do that is to have strangers respond to you. So when the pleaser goes out, she's going to make some interesting connections. She's going to meet some people that she wouldn't normally meet. So it's okay to go out feeling that way. Just own it and understand that's how you're feeling. The sharer is when your guard is down. You're psyched to be out. You're feeling one with your fellow man. The sharer is always the funniest, life of the party. She's going to be hilarious, chatty, straightforward, telling all her funny stories. You're at your best when you're in the sharing mode. So those are just some of the typecasts that they talk about in the book. The confidence checklist is something else that I wanted to point out in the book. It says, you know, when you get out and you're ready to go out for the night, check yourself. Go through the confidence checklist. One, what's your intention for the evening? Are you set out to meet friends? Are you wanting to get laid? Are you just bored? Are you looking for new friendships? Are you looking for love? Set your intention for the night so you kind of know what typecast you can put out there for yourself. Be happy where you are or go somewhere else. Remind yourself that you are not the exception, that you're rarely the exception, and keep your expectations realistic. Eat something. I could have taken that advice last weekend. Stay true to yourself no matter what you think the guy next to you is looking for. So those are some good confidence checklist items that are in the book. This is what I loved. This is one of the things I loved in the book. It's called a close call. So they did this study group for men and women who hang out at this particular bar, and they pointed out to various women and asked guys to comment on what she was wearing. So this is a great insight on what guys think. So they pointed to a woman wearing worn Levi's and a button-down shirt. The guy said, "She looks totally hot. I like that she doesn't look like she's overthought in what she's wearing. Plus, there's nothing sexier to me than a button-down shirt. It makes me think twice about how she would look wearing mine after we've gone to bed." Then they pointed to a woman wearing a tight halter top, a short skirt, and killer heels. The guy said, "Well, I'm certainly not going to think that she's wife material. No way am I introducing a woman who dresses like that to my mother. But she's definitely got my attention. Whether she'll keep it past tonight, I doubt it." We pointed to a woman who's wearing a tube top, jeans, and high heels. He said, "I love that. She's showing off her chest, and yes, I'm noticing. But the jeans make it seem like she didn't put hours into primping herself. I look at her and think, low maintenance and sexy." We pointed to a woman sitting at the bar with her thong hanging out of her low-rise pants. The guy said, "I know it's wrong, but I love it. I like that she doesn't know what's happening, and she's just accidentally giving me a peek of what's underneath. I can't help it, but I want to see more." We pointed to a woman in a turtleneck, a cardigan sweater, and some khakis. And the guy said, "Wow. When I first looked her over, I thought, well, I feel like she's wearing so many layers, I can only imagine how much work it would be to take them all off. But she looks like she's having a lot of fun, so maybe I'm wrong. If she takes off her cardigan, I'll take it as a sign, and I'll go up and talk to her." This book kind of talks about some perfect settings, what to do if you've been fired, where should you go, if you've gotten a promotion, where to go. If you've been dumped, you need to go to a sports bar immediately. If you're feeling rowdy, go out and dance. If you think you need a drink and then just crash, you know, stop by your favorite neighborhood bar. If you want to drink by yourself, it's best to go to an elegant hotel bar where they're accustomed to having people that are there traveling solo. There's some really, really great tips in this book. I just love it. This is good. How to make your approach. A lot of women get a little funny about how to go up to guys, how to approach guys. So I wanted to read this to you because I thought it was very on point, which leads me into the last thing I'm going to talk about today. So some of the guys said on having a woman come up to them, "Something that would immediately put me at ease would be if a woman pretended there was some other guy annoying her or giving her strange looks, and asked me if she could stand and talk to me instead in order to get rid of him. It would make me feel like she thought I was a good protector, as well that she wanted to talk to me." So that was a good little tip. "I'd love it if a woman was direct. I think it would be hot if a woman came over and said, 'I saw you standing there, and I just have to tell you, I think you're really attractive.' I think that would be awesome." Having a woman come up and know something about sports, I mean, really know something about sports, that would be attractive to a guy. You know, compliment him on his shirt or say, cool tie, or I like your shoes, anything like that. So, which brings me to my last tip. And, we've talked about this virtually on the last five shows, and that's being a flirt. And I love flirting. I want to continue to have you go out there and flirt and have fun. But one of the things I wanted to mention was learning how to just... My producer's killing me right now. One of the things that you want to make sure, and I've had a couple of girlfriends talk about this lately, it's like they're afraid to flirt because they feel like the flirt's going to turn into something more. Well, it doesn't have to turn into something more. It doesn't mean you're trying to, you know, screw the guy. And it doesn't mean that he should expect that from you. Go out and be a flirt and be a flirt only. Learn how to do it. Not every guy that you flirt with is expecting that out of you. So you need to know that right away, and they talk about this in this book. So next week, we're going to have some guys on the show and some girls on the show that are going to be talking about online dating and how deceitful it can be. And then hopefully I can get my microphone working this week so I can have some live interviews to air on the show next week, some more crazy stories and fun stuff to talk about. So I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. I'm looking forward to it myself. Nice little holiday weekend, chill. But you've been listening to The Dating Revolution today on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones. Don't forget to visit me online, heatherjones.com. I hope you have a great week and great weekend. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. The Dating Revolution with Heather Jones can be heard live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until next week, get out there, stay in control, and above all else, have some fun. Just.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.